Welcome back, everybody. There's been so much action in our federal courts, it is nearly impossible to keep track of. I know I now need both hands and both feet to count the number of times, and probably Jim's hands and feet as well, to count the number of times a federal court has concluded that the Trump administration is flouting their orders. There were a couple of cases just this past week. But Jim, I wanted to give our listeners a chance to weigh in on this very clear point made by the Seventh Circuit. Protesting the government is not a rebellion. And if there is not a meaningful distinction between the two of those things, then there is no First Amendment.
Absolutely. And
the whole
concept behind the First Amendment, all these cases out there from past Supreme Courts have said that we tolerate not only criticism of the government, but we encourage it in appropriate circumstances. You can say things in the public domain that will be unpopular, that will be offensive, all kinds of things. That's what the First Amendment. There are limits, absolutely. No defamation. You can't incite violence, all kinds of conditions on it. The First Amendment, this core fundamental notion, the president basically equating saying things out loud with insurrection, with rebellion, not even close. And again, the decisiveness of the Seventh Circuit, right?
Yeah, equating showing up en masse
in
the streets.
With a sign.
With a sign to a rebellion.
Right.
Our founding fathers would literally
recoil
turn over in their
in
graves.
Horror. Absolutely.
The other thing that I want to point out before we go to the phones, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Remember, women, vets, conservatives, and first-time callers go to the front of the line. There was also a very weird moment yesterday in the Oval Office where Trump admits that he never said during his campaign that he was going to sick the military and the National Guard on citizens that might protest his policies, that this is going far, far farther than what he intended. And if you listen closely to what he says, he basically says that this is Stephen Miller's thing, that this is about his truest feelings, and that he almost implies that, like, he's holding Stephen Miller back. It is really creepy. The upshot of this is basically the president going like, yeah, I'm just letting this guy over here turn the First Amendment on its head, abuse our National Guard. This is not what these folks who volunteer to help defend our country from foreign enemies and help with domestic natural disasters. It's not what they signed up to do. Listen to this. It is really creepy.
I didn't realize I was going to make this such a big factor in the administration. I didn't really campaign. I campaigned on crime, but I never thought we'd go into every city and take a really safe city that we've all been living with for years and make them safe. And now it's like a passion for me, and it's a passion for the people behind me. So I didn't get elected. I did get elected for crime, but I didn't get elected for what we're doing. This is many, many steps above. And I want to thank Stephen Miller, who's right back in the audience right there. I'd love to have him. I love watching him on television. I'd love to have him come up and explain his true feelings. But maybe not his truest feelings. That might be going a little bit too far.
Oh.
Stephen Miller has an office, right?
Yeah. I didn't get elected for what we're doing. This is many levels above that. And I want to just point this out. There are news agencies, including ProPublica. We're going to put in our show notes the article that they just published. 170 citizens detained, held incommunicado, some for more than one day, meaning they're not allowed to contact family or lawyers. Many of their family members couldn't find where they are. The vast majority of these people were saying, I'm a citizen, producing real ID or whatever it is. The ICE agents laughing at them, violently detained a huge proportion of them. And meanwhile, the biggest political ad spender this year is DHS. They've spent $51 million on propaganda. And another fact-checking organization found out that this crapola being pumped out by the White House and DHS that showed this like very scary video montage of Chicago and how lawless and out of control it was. Yeah, it's a fake. That video was littered with old footage that was about drug busts. So old footage that has nothing to do with what's going on, again, about drug busts, and was from deportation raids in other states, including specifically Florida, Texas, South Carolina, and Nebraska, GOP states. So they're lying about this all the time. Here we've got the Seventh Circuit saying even incidental violence when people, masses of people are exercising their First Amendment rights, this is not a rebellion. Trump admitting this isn't what he got elected to do, but oh yeah, that's Stephen Miller. We don't want him to tell anybody what he actually thinks. What?
And if Mr. President, if you have in your brain some second thoughts, which maybe arguably you're hinting at there, that this has gone too far, you are the president of the United States of America. You are Stephen Miller's boss. You're the president of this nation. You tell your agencies, your law enforcement agencies, Justice Department, Homeland Security, knock it off. We're pulling back. We're
knock
not doing this.
Off.
And you do that right away, and it becomes effective the next moment you say it. You've got that power.
But Jim, you keep saying these things like Donald Trump is rational,
right,
and like this
right,
is normal, and that
problem.
He's actually trying to be a president for
right.
all Americans when he's not.
Right.
I just want to point out this last thing, then we're going to go to the phones, 855-752-4842. There is a psychological phenomena that is called secondary delusions, which means you come up with this set of beliefs that explain the primary delusion, like this primary unreal thing that you seize onto. And you see this constantly in MAGA. You see it from the president himself. And this is, I think Trump is experiencing this. He's not trying to fact check anything that Stephen Miller or anybody else is telling him. He just assumes that all of this is true because he doesn't know how to actually ask any probing questions. He doesn't really care about the facts. What he cares about is own political power and influence. And this is where, like, Stephen Miller spewing all of this nonsense into the president's ear, 4,000 murders in Chicago, shows him videos of Portland burning down. No, it's people in frog outfits, like, singing songs. We got the Raging Grannies here in Wisconsin. And that creates this primary delusion of the out-of-control cities, right? And then that's supported by the propaganda machine, the $51 million spent by DHS on propaganda. And then the secondary delusion is about explaining and propping up that primary delusion, right? And in this case, it's that the delusion of the chaos or these out-of-control cities, that this is explainable through this weird assumption of some kind of bizarre conspiracy about Antifa and Tren de Agua and Marxists and whatever, Democrat, who knows? But you can see this thing, and it sort of ends up feeding itself constantly, right? And you can't get rid of the primary delusion because now you're buying into the secondary illusion and the things feed each other. And you've got a propaganda machine, which includes OAN and Fox News and all righty-whity talk radio, just continuously feeding this delusion loop. And it becomes self-reinforcing. And it's why, even when presented with facts, those that are deluded can't actually engage with them. They'll revert back to, like, the platitudes and the, if this is unsafe, it's about stopping crime. No, it's not. Donald Trump doesn't know a thing about stopping crime. Stephen Miller doesn't know a thing about stopping crime. J.D. Vance doesn't know anything about stopping. They've never done any of that. So that's something I think it's really key for people to keep in mind. I have found it nearly impossible to argue with folks from the right that are diehard for Trump because I can't get them down to any factual level. Because to do so is pulling out one of the major support beams for the entire worldview. And if you do that, the entire thing starts crumbling And that's just psychologically not something most people's brains will allow them to do, because it threatens your psychological existential self. So it's easier to stick with the delusion than it is to grapple with the contrary facts. And we see that every day out of the Oval Office in particular.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Jim, please.
No, I'm simply going to reaffirm that fundamental notion. We see it in courts. We see it outside of courts as well. The reliance, we've got to be able to rely upon some core facts. And we can dispute what we do about those, how we respond to those. That's what good government's all about, legislative
right.
debate. But again, that notion of cracking through that facade, if you say, as you say, of delusion, that's the problem.
It's really, really difficult. And again, the arguments don't work particularly well. Let's go to the phones. Carmela from Milwaukee. Hi, friend. How are you? Say hi to Jim. What you
hey,
got for
Carmela,
us?
Hey, Carmela. How are you?
Hi, very well. Hi, Maggie. Hi, Jim. Well, I have two questions, but of course I have thousands of questions. But
we all have lots of questions,
do,
Carmela.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's mind-boggling. But why isn't the international courts, and I can't remember, is it just called international courts? Why aren't they indicting Trump? I don't know. Would it be war crimes or what he's doing, killing people outside of the U.S.? But that was my first question.
What's
and
your second question?
Was,
go ahead.
Is the federal judges, when they go against Trump, why there are no consequences, nothing happens. So is there a way that they can force the hand? I don't know. I'm confused by that, and I think it might have something to do with the Supreme Court giving him pretty much immunity.
That's
everything.
A lot of it, right?
So very quickly, there are two primary international courts. There's the International Criminal Court and there's the International Court of Justice. The International Court of Justice generally deals with disputes between nation states, okay, or actors that act as if they are nation states. The International Criminal Court literally deals with war crimes. Now, I could spend 2 hours with Jim talking about the origins of the International Criminal Court, but suffice it to say, a lot of it was because of U.S. initiatives following World War II, also in responses to genocide in the former Yugoslavia, in various places in Eastern Europe, as well as Africa. The U.S. helped bring war criminals to trial at The Hague. Coming from that, they created the International Criminal Court. Now, would it surprise anyone that the U.S. has now backed away from, does not support, and will not participate in the International Criminal Court? That is the answer to question number one. Question number two, Carmela, Jim and I are going to talk about on the other side after we take care of some messages, but let's squeeze in a couple more calls. Mark from Prairie du Sac, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it seems... Yeah, for Stephen Miller, it seems like he's lived in a right-wing echo chamber for his entire life, that he's never really had any real world experience other than working for right-wingers, and he just feeds on hatred. And for Donald Trump, I mean, what next? Donald Trump is going to decide we'll give Alaska back to Putin because Putin just asks for it?
Yeah, where's the line?
Right, what next indeed, Mark? Right, what next indeed?
We got to take care of some messages. We'll come back, talk about these court orders that are being flouted right and left by the Trump administration. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.